It's HSK Today.
This is down low. McRobin scores!
A weekly in-depth look at the Henderson Silver Knights.
Rebound free, Denisenko scores!
And the AHL.
Dyson Mayo shot, he scores!
With your hosts, Brian McCormick and Justin Russo.
Here we go on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon, the final episode of HSK Today. Brian McCormick and Justin Russo here, you there. Angel Castro on the other side of the glass spinning the ones and twos as we talk horse hockey and get you set for the final weekend of the season for the Henderson Silver Knights. And tonight they kick off that final stretch against the San Diego Gulls. And as often the case when we're on the road, when I say Brian McCormick and Justin Russo here, I mean on this side of the metaphorical fourth wall, because he and I are not in the same place. I am at Pechanga Arena getting ready for tonight's puck drop between the Silver Knights and the Gulls, and Justin back in the Vegas studios. And Justin, our final show of the season. It's been a long and winding season, and a season that the Silver Knights fans had some hope in the final couple of months they might be able to make a run. That is now mathematically out of the mix. And now it's just a matter of finishing strong.
Yeah, you know, a frustrating first half for the HSK, but, you know, I think we were all looking for them to make that kind of push in the second half, and boy, did they ever. I mean, and they got it closer than I think a lot of us could have hoped for in terms of the way they played in the second half of the season. Gives us a lot of hope for next season, for sure, with some of the young pieces coming along as well. So an exciting way to finish for them. But, you know, I did want to bring up, Ryan, you've got to be pretty frustrated, because looking at the schedule, this is your second trip to San Diego of the season. I mean, that's kind of robbery, I'd have to think, on your end, right?
I'm sitting here having essentially a phone call with you. What a waste.
Yeah, well, hopefully next season San Diego features the full 8-game schedule, so you can get 4 trips out there.
You know, we had our fun last night, though. We went to Petco Park. I've never been there before.
So oh, very
we saw
nice.
The Padres and the Cubs went to extra innings. It is San Diego, so it's a tropical paradise. It still gets cold at night, though, if you're seeing two rows from the top in the upper deck.
So, yeah, you got to manage.
Lesson learned. I'm still hockey tough, but if I were doing that exact same thing in August, I probably would have fared much poorer. But no, we're going to have some San Diego fun. Silver Knights will as well. We're going to talk in our next set. Well, our next time we're going to hear, we spoke with Ryan Craig earlier today to give kind of a summation of the season. So we'll hear from Ryan Craig. And then at the end of the show, we're going to hear from Gabe Mirabelli, the chief business officer for Foley Entertainment Group's minor league properties, which is to say all of our boss, to talk about things from the business side and the fan experience and what you can expect to be learned from this season and applied in the years ahead. So it's a lot to cover. And then throughout the show, we'll sprinkle in some of our favorite moments from the season as well, because there were some fun highlights along the way. And so we'll get those in the mix as well. But, you know, Justin, for the Silver Knights, well, the rest of the remaining three games, tonight, Friday, Saturday, and Saturday is Fan Appreciation Night, of course, not meaningless. No professional hockey game is meaningless for the players who are involved and the players who are trying to make an impression and fight for contracts and what have you. But statistically, standings-wise, these three games are not going to impact anything for the Silver Knights. Tonight especially, as the Gulls have also been eliminated. But Friday and Saturday could, because it's a Condors team right now 2 points behind Tucson with a game in hand. That game could still mean something, so there's still plenty of impact the Silver Knights can have on the playoff race, even if it isn't them themselves, if they can get over the line.
Yeah, you know, I think it's kind of that shift in mentality, right, for the Silver Knights, where you go from wanting to make it yourself and giving yourself the best chance to, okay, well, we have a division rival right here. We have a direct chance to knock them out as well. So, you know what, let's still have our say in this playoff push. Let's see if we can knock them out if we can. And you bring up Bakersfield, 2 points back of Tucson. They have that game in hand still, and it just seems like neither team really wants to grab it right now. I mean, you look at the bottom half of the Pacific overall. I mean, even from San Jose down, the records in the last 10 are 4-5-1, 4-5-1, 4-5-1, 5-5, and 4-5-1. I mean, it has been so even over the bottom half of the Pacific Division. There has been no separation from any of these teams trying to take this spot, and thus we've just been in this kind of holding pattern where it's the same gaps and the same margins, and here we are with Bakersfield again, still 2 points back, still with that same game in hand that we've been talking about for what seems like 2 months now, that they've had a game in hand or a couple on somebody. But for the Condors, important games coming up over the weekend. You don't want to overlook this game for the Silver Knights, of course, tonight, but an opportunity to make your impact felt in that Pacific Division.
And the Condors, Connor Carrick was just called up by the Edmonton Oilers. Cam Dineen was already up. It's a Condors team that, while they're trying to battle to keep their head above the surface, the hockey gods keep putting their foot right on their foreheads and pushing them back down. But it is a Bakersfield team fighting for their lives and making a go of it. You know, I was a little surprised, Justin. Yeah, you know, the Silver Knights lost 3 of 4 points in Colorado. So, again, regardless of last Wednesday's game where they lost to Bakersfield, and that officially put the Silver Knights mathematically out, you know, you looked ahead. If things were to have gone differently on Wednesday, again, Colorado, the Silver Knights couldn't afford to lose a point anywhere. So we'd be in the same place. But yeah, you kind of look at the scoreboard watching of other teams and whether it would have mattered. Tucson got a point in Rockford, so that wouldn't have mattered either. Tucson getting a point would have done the job. So there's no parallel universe where you look like, oh, if only the Silver Knights had found a way against Bakersfield, the same thing would have come to pass. It would be over. But I am surprised, because I thought Tucson going into Rockford would take care of business a little more efficiently. I thought they'd put Bakersfield away with that Rockford weekend, and they did not do well.
No, not at all. And, you know, it's interesting, too. I mean, Rockford was, of course, fighting to get into the playoffs themselves, so they had something still to play for. They have since clinched that playoff spot because of what they did against Tucson over the weekend. And yeah, just, again, a Tucson team that was unable to kind of get away. And you know, we've seen this from Tucson, Bakersfield, and I think in terms of San Diego and Henderson, too, since their good stretches, like the lulls that we've seen from certain teams where they just never seem to properly align in a way for one team to get separation. Both teams will play well, and then they both kind of fall by the wayside a little bit. And they both come back up, and then they go back down. It's like there's just no team that wants to really take it by the horns. And we've saw in recent weeks Tucson able to get that gap up to, you know, 4, 5, 6 points, and it just comes right back down. They just can't separate. So it's interesting to see how these final spots go. And, you know, looking at the Pacific overall, you have a good Colorado team that the Silver Knights faced at the top. Really impressed by what Abbotsford's done down the stretch. They're still fighting for all the way up to second. They were a team that, you know, we would consistently look at fifth and sixth in terms of that top chunk in the Pacific. They were trying to work their way in. They've since done that. Ontario in third, you know, and then that kind of cluster in the middle with the Firebirds, the Wranglers, and the Barracuda. So it's a tight division, and it's going to come down to the wire for a couple of spots and seeding, but I think it's a wide-open division when you look at the postseason.
Condors will take on the Abbotsford Canucks tonight at home, and, of course, Abbotsford just recently coming back down to earth. They're winless in their last two after winning, I think it was 14 in a row. So the Canucks in that stratosphere in the Western Conference. So if the Condors can win tonight, and Tucson has games this weekend against the Colorado Eagles at home. So if the Canucks, if the Condors can beat the Canucks tonight, Friday's game at least for the Silver Knights and the Condors is going to have some significant meaning as the Silver Knights look to snap a drought. They have not won in Bakersfield since the end of the 2021-22 season. So another opportunity for the Silver Knights again in these final days of the regular season to pull down some accolades would be if they could snap that skid, but certainly still plenty going on in the Pacific Division in this final week. We said we're going to sprinkle in some moments of the season, and let's start with perhaps the most impressive performance the Silver Knights had this season. On March the 2nd, Alexander Holtz, who had only been with the Silver Knights for a couple of weeks, Justin, he had at that point, a couple of days, but it was a matter of Holtz coming down from the VGK. Could he find that offensive spark again with the Silver Knights being used differently? And in San Jose, he did it with an exclamation point. For Brisson, he'll work into the far circle. Brisson drops it there for Quinney. Now Brisson again, right wing corner. Out to the blue line for Addison, drags to the middle. Nice pass to the left circle. Holtz is there, waits, fires, scores! Make it four for Alexander Holtz, and the Silver Knights have a 4-3 lead. Alexander Holtz has 3 power play goals on the afternoon, and he matches a Silver Knights record with his fourth of the day. And that was Alexander Holtz's 4-goal game against the San Jose Barracuda, the second Silver Knight with a 4-goal game, joining Sheldon Rempel. And you know what? He's with the Golden Knights now, Justin, because he came down to Henderson and did what he was asked to do.
And you talk to the people with the Golden Knights, he looks like a better player for having come down here and approach that role in the right way. And, you know, you sometimes can think of the mental effect that it can have on a player going down to the AHL, but he approached it in the right way, knew that he just needed to work on his game, continued to score goals and help this team offensively, doing some of the things that his game is all about with the goal scoring and the shot, and just really rounded out his game in a good way. And, of course, that four-goal performance kind of woke everyone up to, okay, Alexander Holtz is here. He can still score some goals after struggling a little bit with the VGK, and has since gone back up to Vegas, had another goal as well with the Golden Knights, and looking to finish things off in the regular season with them too.
And he remains with the VGK at this stage, as do Akira Schmid, Ronbjerg. So those three are up. And for the Silver Knights, a couple of players still a little dinged up. We don't expect to see Jake Bischoff tonight, though he is on the trip. We don't expect to see Tanner Lozinski, as he is under the weather and has been since the weekend. So don't anticipate the Silver Knights having him available tonight either. But who they will have in the lineup, making his AHL debut, or at least that is the expectation, is William Kmetz, who was with the Golden Knights during rookie camp and development camp over the summer, signed an NHL deal just before the season, and then went to back to the Western Hockey League and the Prince George Cougars and had a phenomenal season, one of the top offensive defensemen in the Western Hockey League, and just the most recent of, you know, one of the silver linings of where the Silver Knights find themselves right now, Justin, in terms of no playoff hockey. It gives them a lot of freedom to give these early auditions to players who probably factor in for this team next season. We've already seen Cameron Whitehead and Trevor Connolly, and tonight we'll see William Kmetz.
I think that's what's exciting, too, is getting a look at some of the prospects. And you mentioned the silver lining. Of course, the HSK know where they want to be. They want to be in the Calder Cup playoffs. But when you're not in that spot, it does offer you the chance to get a look at some young talent. Really impressed with what we saw from Cam Whitehead over the weekend in Colorado. Trevor Connolly getting his first pro goal. He looks pretty solid. Now you add someone in on the blue line for the HSK, a big body guy who really produced in his most recent season of the WHL, just continuing to tick up that production, almost doubling it from what he had in the past couple of seasons as well. So exciting to see what he can bring, and you know, just another young name to add into the fold.
18 goals, 61 points in 65 games with Prince George for William Kmetz in his overage Western Hockey League season. So we'll see him tonight, and we'll see him wearing number 79. Another piece of news that dropped yesterday, we just kind of summarized the season off the ice. You know, Mason Gertzen's been here for 2 years, Justin, and of course Mason Gertzen, there was a lot of discussion about him during the Hockey Fights Cancer initiatives when he revealed his own battle with cancer, with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and that he is in remission and doing very well. But of course, not just a scary time, but a life-defining time as he battled through that and maintained his professional hockey career. But that's not all that he's done, of course. He's been one of the most involved, most active community members for the Henderson Silver Knights, whether it's animal shelter volunteering, whether it's his own family foundation to provide hockey opportunities to underprivileged kids. He does it all, and last night it was announced that he is the Silver Knights selection for the AHL's Man of the Year Award, which will make him a finalist, one of the 32 finalists, one from each team, for the Yannick Dupree Memorial Award, which is for the league-wide recognition for the most impactful community service member of the AHL, and very well-deserved. And it's been 2 years where, you know, Mason Gertzen on the ice, he's a physical player, and he makes you pay for your mistakes, but off the ice, always looking for an opportunity to make a difference.
I think a well-deserving award for Mason, and you know, we talked a lot about it when he shared his story, of course, with the cancer diagnosis, and for him to take that and spin it in such a positive way to then go and try to help others in the community that are dealing with it and kind of relating that story and understanding what they're going through, it's just so impressive to do all that amidst a hockey season too, right? Where you're trying to just play hockey, you're trying to do your job, and you have this life-changing event happen to you. But it was so impressive to see some of the things come out from that story and just hear about it and all the work that he does, of course, in the community, relating to that or not, just really deserving award for Mason.
And again, a player who plays a punishing style, feared between the blue lines, but beloved in the community. So hats off to Mason Gertzen for that recognition, and good luck to him as the Silver Knights hope he will be selected as the Yannick Dupree Award winner for the AHL this season. And as mentioned, he and his family launching a charity this year, the Gertzen Opportunity Foundation. Gertzen Opportunity Foundation trying to make sure that the game of hockey is accessible to children of all economic and social backgrounds throughout Canada and the United States. For more information, you can hop onto GertzenOpportunityFoundation.com, GertzenOpportunityFoundation.com. SilverKnightsHockey.com, and you can contribute today. We're going to step out. When we come back, we're going to hear from head coach Ryan Craig. He was able to sit down with us and then summarize the season, the wins, the frustrations, the opportunities for the future, and where it all leads for a Silver Knights team that has three games remaining in the 2024-25 season. Back in a moment, Justin Russo and Brian McCormick here with you on HSK Today. You're listening to the Henderson Silver Knights Radio Network.
And now, back to HSK Today with Brian McCormick.
Back on HSK Today, Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you. Henderson Silver Knights taking on the San Diego Gulls this evening. Final meeting of the season between the two, and for the Silver Knights, just three games left on their regular season schedule. We're talking through some of the highlight moments of this season, and for the Silver Knights, one of the loudest moments at Lee's Family Forum came during their surge in late January and early February. The Silver Knights trying to fight their way back into the mix, and against Colorado at home, a red-hot Colorado Eagles team, the Silver Knights picked up an important extra point on this dramatic overtime winner by Raphael Lavoie. When he takes it away from Tynan, shovels it out to center and just out of the reach of Lavoie, but he'll chase it down into the zone. Lavoie drives in, scores! That's a winner in overtime for Raphael Lavoie. The Silver Knights have won five in a row. And Justin, for the Henderson Silver Knights, I mean, it's not a surprise that the first half of the season was rough. The second half was much better, and the reason being that a lot of individual players had better second halves than first halves, but it was such an encouraging sign, I think, for the Silver Knights and for the Golden Knights, for that matter, that in the second half of the season, Raphael Lavoie really took off and became what we're used to remembering him from in Bakersfield. He was that player for pretty much the entire second half.
Yeah, struggled to find his footing a little bit in the first half of the season, but really picked it up and kind of led the way offensively for the HSK in the second half. And that was an important goal, of course, in overtime, but an important weekend as well because, you know, it was a four-game win streak up to that point. That capped off a sweep over the Colorado Eagles in January, and that's when you kind of started to feel, okay, like there's something to this HSK team. Now they would go on to lose their next two, but that would be another five-game win streak after that, and they would really kick off the second half of the season. So it was just the start of that kind of run in the second half.
Now you got a season with ups and downs, rookies that came a long way, veterans that found their footing in the latter half. It's a complex topic, the 24-25 Silver Knights season, and to get some bearings on it, earlier today sat down with head coach Ryan Craig for his season summary thoughts. Here's head coach Ryan Craig.
With head coach Ryan Craig, in the final week of the season, coach, it's mentioned last week, it's been a little bit of a tale of two seasons, and the second half has been really good for this group. Where's the growth been over the course of these many months?
Well, there's definitely been growth in a lot of individuals on our team, and then as a team. We've seen it since Christmas. Really proud of the effort, the commitment we've put in as a team. Our players have bought in. They've been rewarded with some wins, finding different ways to win, different guys contributing each and every night. We put ourselves in playing meaningful games in April, which was something if you would have looked at where we were in December, we would have been proud of, and yet you want to be playing meaningful games into game 73 is obviously the goal that we want to accomplish. So that's where there's some disappointment that sets in.
As we look back, is there a point you can kind of pinpoint where that change happened, where that turn happened? Because it really was almost the exact 50% mark of the calendar.
Well, we had a big win in Calgary right before Christmas. Carl got a shutout. We had played well the night before, with a few changes in the lineup, and then when we came back in, we were able to play and win games how we thought we would win, defending, building a lead, and then pushing till the very end. I believe we won the game 3-0. Guys went home with a better taste in their mouth to celebrate Christmas with their families, as they should, and when we came back, it was a bit of a rejuvenation. We didn't get, obviously, the results that we necessarily wanted to right off the start. I think we went 1-2 in between up until New Year's, but then from then on there was a big push. It was an 8-game winning streak. There was a push where you could see the confidence building in our group, and we wanted to try to ride it as long as we could, and we have here in the second half for the majority of it.
with head coach Ryan Craig. We'll get to some individuals in a moment, but it is a very young group. There are a lot of rookies on this team and some added over the course of the last several weeks. But you talked about the ability to play meaningful hockey games in April. How important is that for young players learning how to play in the league, learning how to be professionals, to play some games with stakes and with the pressures and opportunities that come with that?
Well, the league gets better every month. It's an uneasy league to play in. It's a league that you have to be where your feet are. You have to be, in that sense, everybody's in the American League usually for a reason, whether it's to try to grow your game, round out your game, get your game back in order, build your game. I think that's the great thing about this league is there's always something to play for, individually and as a team. And I think our guys learned a lot about each other as we've kind of gone through this here in the second half. We've had some young guys, like you said, take some steps and grow. But this is a hard league, and it's harder in March than it was in November. It's harder in April than it was in December. And I think that's the positives we're taking out of this, is our team got better as the league got better. And we saw that, and there was a confidence that grew, a push that was made. We are still playing meaningful games in the sense we're going to play here tonight in San Diego and then go into Bakersfield with, they'll be anywhere from two to tied for the last playoff spot. Points coming into a home and home for us, we have a chance to end somebody's season or have a say in that, and that's exciting for our group. These guys deserve to play meaningful hockey games.
Talking about how as the season goes on, the league gets better, the team gets better, your team got better, and part of the reason for that too is that some of the rookies got better and came into their own a little bit. Start with Braden Bowman and just the second half that he had and the confidence he showed and how many more offensive situations you were able to put him in.
Well, he earned that opportunity. I think right from the start of development camp, coming back into rookie tournament, his game has continued to grow. We've tried to manage expectations with him. That goes along with Kai, Uches, Matias Sapovalov, all those guys that are in their first year here. You can see as their game started to grow, our team started to have more success, and it's no coincidence those guys' games took off. There was some bumps in the road. They started to get played harder by opposition, put in different situations, but they continue to push, and everything they've gotten they've earned this year.
For Braden, for Kai, two guys who were undrafted free agents who came into development camp, they've, like you said, they've earned it, but they've earned it every step along the way since last summer. Is it perhaps helpful for the two of them that they came in fairly similar boats and were able to take those steps together?
Well, I think anytime you can go through that as a with somebody, they have. They've been lockstep the whole way through here. They're playing together now on a line. They've been on a similar power play unit. All those kind of things, you build that chemistry and trust with each other on and off the ice. And I think, you know, it was a really rewarding day for them, our team, the organization, when those two signed their NHL contracts. Came in as AHL contracted players, was able to force the organization's hand and earn the opportunity to play the next 2 years on NHL deals.
With head coach Ryan Craig, Carl Lindbaum caught a lot of people's attention the second half of the season and probably put himself on a lot of ballots for the all-rookie team. Were you surprised to see that when he caught fire this season, that the extent to which he found that comfort level and that dominance in the second half of the season, or did you expect that he had that in him all along?
Well, you hear the reports. You know he's a good goalie. You know he's had success at the levels he's played at before. So you hope that translates to here. I think the concern or kind of hesitation was he hadn't been over in North America before, played on that ice at this level. And for us, we wanted to see where he is. He earned the job at a camp to start here, and he's grabbed every opportunity he's gotten and run with it. And you can see the competitiveness in him. You can see how he approaches each and every day. He's a true professional in the sense of that, and that he's ready to work. He's ready to come to work. He's ready to put in the work, and that's going to carry him as far as he possibly can.
There were a few players this season that you knew you were going to go a long stretch without. Jakob Demick, Lucas Cormier, and Ben Hemmerling. Now, first of all, the concern, of course, of them missing that time. And then you wonder, what are you going to get from them when they come back? All three of them have come in and played impactful minutes for this group. How encouraging has it been to see them be able to, in their development, have a season this year and accomplish something?
Well, I think if you start with Corms, he gets hurt on the first day of training camp, and it's a long, long year for him coming back. He's a guy that played his two NHL games last year. You know, he would have felt he has an opportunity to try to solidify himself or compete to play more NHL games this year. And the way it works, he gets hurt the first day of camp, and now you're chasing the season and trying to rehab instead of working for that opportunity. So he's come back and it's, he's slowly rounding his game into form. I think we've seen he's pressing a little bit in certain offensive situations. He is a puck guy. And like I said, the league gets better as it goes on. And these guys are playing somewhat, let's call it October hockey, trying to catch up in March and April. So, but they put in the work. Their games are rounding into form. Corms has done a real good job, has to continue to play within the strengths of his game. We have to give him probably a little bit more leeway on the offensive side as his skill set dictates. And then as for Demick, a bit of the same thing, right? He gets hurt in rookie tournament, has come back here. He's played the most games out of that group, and we've seen it. He's ahead of schedule of those guys just because of probably his size, his strength, his skill set, and the game he plays. A direct game, and he's come in and built off that game. We've used him on the wing. We've used him at center. His game's continued to grow, which has been good to see for him. And then with Hemmerling, again, a tough break where you lose a guy for 5-6 months in exhibition season. And as a young guy who's never played in the league, it was great he was around our team. I think that helped him transition back into here. But he is a guy that it's a hard league for a young guy, never mind a young guy that's jumping in March. So Ben is continuing to round out his game. He's got a big offseason in front of him and then a real good chance to contribute to our team.
Golden Knights are about to go on a playoff run. They're chasing their second Stanley Cup. One of the tasks of an American Hockey League team is to support the parent club, and there have been plenty of HSK players who have played meaningful minutes for the Golden Knights this season. How do you feel like this group accomplished that task of supporting the VGK?
Well, our guys have gone up and helped contribute, and guys that have come here have hopefully left here better players to go back up. We've seen Ronberg's back up there now. Holtz has now gone back up there and played well. We've had different guys go up and either play their first NHL games, get their first NHL goals, or help contribute. And Bruce says it, your job is to come up here and help us win a hockey game. And that could be anywhere from scoring a goal to playing 6 to 9 minutes and helping the team contribute any way you can. And we've seen different guys go up and be able to help with that. And that's real encouraging and something our guys and our organization should be proud of.
With head coach Ryan Craig. Coach, last question. Not that you want to look ahead. There's still work to be done here. But there will be plenty of guys on this roster currently who will be here next season. It's been a very good second half. What are some of the lessons of this second half that you hope carry over through the offseason and give these guys something to build off of?
Well, we'll reevaluate our year. Obviously, we want to start the way we're finishing. That's key. It's our job as a staff to make sure that when we start next year, we hit the ground running. The guys that are coming back have to understand that just because what you've accomplished or done it individually this year isn't going to necessarily carry over to next year. They have big off seasons in front of them, big Septembers into Octobers next year, whether they're in rookie camp or VGK main camp and working their way through that. It's important we don't rest on what we've done here. There's a standard that has to be set and achieved here. We want to be not having this conversation, same conversation at this time next year. We want to continue to push. We want to continue to develop while winning hockey games. And I think that's the thing. It starts from the coaching staff all the way through to the players. We want to make sure that we're a team that's pushing to continuing to get better, not just individually, but as a group.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate everything this season.
Thank you.
And that was head coach Ryan Craig. His thoughts on the season, spoken earlier today. And Justin, you know, what I come away with from that, again, there's individuals who have had strong seasons, and we know who they are. There's been a lot of growth from the young guys. A lot of the discussion was about the young guys and the next wave. But the thing you really come away with is all the growth of this season doesn't really matter if it isn't compounded upon by work this off season. These are very important summer months ahead for the guys who are 1, 2, 3 years into their careers.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, they always say it's a results-based business, right? You have to find a way to get the wins and get the points to get yourself to success. And for these guys, hopefully a lot of the rookie class, at the very least, can recognize some of the things that went wrong in their first AHL season, team-wide at the very least, in terms of not getting the points they wanted early on in the season, and can hopefully, you know, just continue to build their game and progress and keep on that upward trajectory that you'd expect from young guys to hopefully come into next season. Start it strong, as he said, start as they finished, and continue to win and develop, which is something that Ryan Craig has said since his opening press conference when he took the job. So goals to build on for next season, and we'll see if the HSK can, again, yeah, put in the work in the summer to get to those goals.
We'll step out. When we come back, we'll hear some of the summation of the business side for the Silver Knights from Chief Business Officer Mr. Gabe Mirabelli. But as we head to break, let's relive one of the more dramatic goals scored this season for the Silver Knights, the only shorthanded goal this season from Tanner Lozinski to force overtime in Ontario. Houdon will bank it off the boards out to center. Stanika looking at the empty net. He put it off the outside of the cage. Stanika took the shot from just over the line. He put it off the outside of the net. The Silver Knights stay alive. Cormier into the zone for Lozinski. A shot. He scores! Tanner Lozinski, the wrister from the high slot past the glove of Copley. We are tied!
And now, back to HSK Today with Brian McCormick.
Back on HSK Today, Brian McCormick and Justin Russo. Final program of the season for the Henderson Silver Knights. And to get you, well, we got the summary from the hockey side from head coach Ryan Craig. Now let's get the summary of the business side from Chief Business Officer Mr. Gabe Mirabelli. Gabe, thanks so much for joining us. And, you know, it's a 72-game season for us, day in, day out in the hockey trenches, and it's a journey. I can only imagine on your side of the spectrum, not only do you have the hockey season, you have everything else that goes on at Lee's Family Forum. It's been a busy stretch since October. Did it feel like a blink or a marathon?
Oh, Brian, it feels like a blink. We go back to even, you know, we start planning these things in the spring and summer, the season before. So the actual season goes by so quickly, and it was just so many great things to celebrate on our end. And I can't believe it. Saturday, it's now we got to wait till October to do it all again.
Well, Gabe, let's talk about some of the wins from the business side. I know going into the season that theme nights and promotions, those were two elements that, and I guess maybe you can combine them into one element, that you guys really wanted to put some emphasis on. You did so. We saw more giveaways than ever before. What was the fan response to those efforts, and what are some of those things you think you're going to be able to carry forward into future seasons?
Well, Brian, you hit the nail on the head there. That was really my favorite part of what we were able to accomplish this year. Over two-thirds of our games had a theme or promotion tied to it, and this response from our fans was tremendous. My personal favorite, though, it had to be our kids' days. We had five Sunday games that became our kids' days. It's such a great thing for families to come out and do on a Sunday afternoon, and every kid walked away with a giveaway like a U Street hockey stick or an HSK jersey or an HSK jersey lunchbox, and most importantly, the opportunity for kids in attendance to come out, down on the ice after a game and shoot a slap shot on the same ice as pro hockey players is so unique. And I can just think back to when I was a kid, and if I got the opportunity to do that, I'd be smiling the rest of the day and talking about it at school. So just seeing those smiles and seeing those kids react to that experience was truly probably my favorite part of the season.
You know, I can say that was one of my favorite parts too with my post-game shows, right? I'd be sitting there and all the kids would start funneling onto the ice and I'd get to take a look at all the little ones, get their shots in. That was always a fun moment for me with those kids' day games as well. And, you know, looking at some of the different and unique promotions and theme nights that we had, there were a lot of fun ones. We had bobbleheads, we had wedding night, there was the gravy boat giveaway, of course, back by Thanksgiving. Which ones do you think seem to strike a chord most with the fans?
Justin, I think all of our giveaways were really well received. You saw the fans showing up 30 minutes before doors to make sure that they got, there's Zamboni gravy boat right around Thanksgiving, or there's HSK Hawaiian shirt back in March. But look, there's something to be said for Star Wars night. Selfishly, I am just such a massive fan, and our group did such a tremendous job of making that an immersive experience, from the lightsaber training on the tilt yard to the character group that comes in to the entertainment that goes on the ice. And, you know, Chewie on the broadcast, is that's a real highlight for me during the season. And look, we went so crazy, we married two people. And we always see, you know, people are getting engaged at sporting events, and that's fantastic. But we thought, how do we take that to the next level by having a full wedding on the ice? And I know Jesse Lorenzi from our team spent 3 months being a wedding planner, and just for us to pull that off was fantastic. But that's what we really set out to do. We really tried to be unique. We really tried to be different, and I think we accomplished that.
We're with Gabe Mirabelli, Chief Business Officer for the Henderson Silver Knights and Foley Entertainment Group Minor League Sports Properties. You know, Gabe, the way you just phrased it, pulling it off with wedding night in particular, I think we get so used to at the HSK game presentation, the Golden Knights game presentation, the spectacle of Vegas, we kind of forget how difficult some of these things can be to do. Were any of these elements, and wedding night might be the best example of it, but are any of these elements things that you dreamed up last July that you thought to yourself, like, hey, you know what, this might be a challenge, this actually might be hard to do, and now you look back at the end of the season, you're like, actually, our guys pulled that off pretty darn well.
Brian, I think you hit the nail on the head. The wedding night's the best example of it. You know, you think, oh, we just got to find two people who want to get married on the ice. And then, you know, I had a preview of this. I got married last October, and you think about all the things that got to go right, and the getting the flowers and this and the other thing. And we didn't pull any punches on this. We had the ceremony. We had the first dance. We had a truck drive them off the ice. We had the all arena skate post game as part of the reception. You had the wedding cake. It was so many things coming together. But to your point, we dream these things up, but I think where we challenge ourselves is we want to do everything 120%. And that's where the challenge comes in, because we could put these things together and pull them off, but we want it to be bigger and better than everybody else, because like you said, there's a 100 things to do on a given night in this town, and we got to make sure that we're standing out, especially for our backyard residents in Henderson. We want to be a great place for families to come and experience on strip like entertainment that really leaves you feeling excited and with a smile. And so that's probably a little bit of our own fault that we do things 120%, but that's also why fans come out and see us night after night.
But you set the standard high, and I think we knocked it out of the park this season in terms of all the promotions and the theme nights that happened at Lee's Family Forum. And you speak of the fans in Henderson. I'm sure you guys get plenty of fan feedback during the season as well, and fans looking to be or interested in some certain things, you know, stuff that maybe the fans brought up that you guys are interested in perhaps trying to take on next season.
Well, Justin, I think what I actually look for is smiles. You know, people will let you know when they're not a particular fan of something, as is their right. But at the same time, when you look around the building and you see people smiling or laughing at the horse races, that's when you know you're doing a good job. Just seeing the reaction of fans can really tell you a lot about what's working and what's not. And so I think some of the other things that we did receive great feedback on is our season ticket members received some great benefits this year. Not only the member event that we've done in years past, but we had great member only giveaways. And we try to put a lot of thought and effort into who are the different groups of people coming to our game, whether it's our season ticket members, a group, a fan experience package, a cheerleading team that's going to come out and perform on the ice. And we just think, how can we make that group feel valued, feel special? And I think we did a great job of really looking across the board this year and providing that value and great experience to everyone that comes out to our games.
We're a Chief Business Officer, Gabe Mirabelli. Gabe, last one before we let you go. We were just hearing from Ryan Craig talking about how, for especially the young players, how important this offseason is to build on all the things that they learned and grew in this season. The offseason, incredibly important. for you guys in the office. You're not stringing up the hammocks right now. What's the off season look like as you get ready to do it all again next year?
Yeah, Brian, it's a great point. I don't want to give it too much away on what we're planning, but a busy off season creates a smooth regular season, and we're actually jumping right back into our 25-26 planning next week, planning all the great events that we're going to look forward to next year, getting our giveaways and professional schedule lined up, because that's our time to be as comprehensive and intentional as we can so that things are locked in. We don't want to be scrambling. We want to make sure we're providing that 120% experience night in and night out. So for some of our players, our summer is not our summer. Our summer is time to hit the gym and get those get that weight training program, get a step faster, get a step stronger, and do it even bigger and better next year.
And Gabe, just you've done it a little bit throughout some of your answers, but just, you know, Justin and I spend all year talking about power plays and bottom pair defensemen and so on and so forth. We don't spend a lot of time talking about ticket executives and marketing coordinators, but they help this thing go too. So whatever flowers you'd like to give out to your business staff, you can do it now.
Well, I appreciate that, Brian, and I think it would be too much because I'd have to mention about 30 names. But, you know, I just listed off all the great things that we accomplished. And I should say that the group accomplished. You know, it really is. It's tremendous to see all the business units working together and striving towards common goals. And everyone just did a fantastic job. It has very little to do with me. I'm the idea and send emails guy, and then they go execute it. And I couldn't be prouder of what they did, and I couldn't be more thankful for their efforts this year, and excited to do it even bigger and better next year.
Well, Gabe, we appreciate the time, and we appreciate all the work that you and your team do to make the make Silver Knights seasons fun. Enjoy the off season, getting right back to work, as you said, and good luck with Nighthawks football. That's the next one on tap.
Awesome. I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
That is Gabe Mirabelli, Chief Business Officer for Foley Entertainment Group, Minor League Sports Properties, that includes the Henderson Silver Knights. Justin, as he mentioned, there's a lot of fun at Lee's Family Forum this season. Next season, the on-ice results will match. But that's one thing the Silver Knights always make a very sizable effort to do, is to make sure that, you know, win or lose, there's something fun for the fans in the stands.
Yeah, and it was such a fun year in terms of all the things that happened at Lee's Family Forum, whether it was some of the giveaways that he touched on or just the unique nights that we had. The wedding night seemed out of nowhere, but it was one of the most fun nights that we had, and it's such a crazy idea, like he said, to try to pull off, but the execution was so good. It was such a fun night. Even something like Jurassic Night, too, where you had the different themed jerseys and just something fun for the fans to come and enjoy. I think that was, like you said, a key takeaway of the season, and as it has been for the Silver Knights, is that something fun's going to happen. You can't control what happens on the ice all the time, but make that fan experience as good as you can, and I think it's top-notch with the HSK.
And as we continue to have our fun here on HSK today, it's our final episode of the season, and Justin, it's been so much fun doing this show with you again this year, but we're also very fortunate that we work with a lot of great people over at 12:30 of the game, Mr. Angel Castro, Mr. Joe Costa, who was behind the board for much of this season, Jerry Justice, Doug Marsh, all do incredible work to keep us on the air, keep us talking Silver Knights hockey, and keep us sane, because if it was just you and I talking to each other and just each other the entire season, we probably fight a lot more. We get along so well. I think it's because of all the buffers.
Yeah, it's just everyone kind of holding it together. The glue guys, right, that you always talk about. It's the people at 12:30 the game that hold it down for us. So they make us sound and perform a lot better than we probably would normally.
And we're not done yet. We are done on HSK today for this season. But we do have three more Silver Knights games remaining tonight here at Pechanga Arena, where the Silver Knights will visit the San Diego Gulls. That'll be a 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:30 pregame with Justin Russo, and then a back-to-back this weekend, Friday and Saturday, at Lee's Family Forum, including Fan Appreciation Night on Saturday night. That'll be a televised game on Vegas 34. Justin, thanks for a great season, and what do you got planned for tonight?
I think we're going to have some fun tonight. We'll touch on some of the youngsters for the HSK. We'll take a look at the game tonight, and hopefully the Silver Knights can come out with a victory.
It'll be the AHL debut for William Kmetz. That's what we expect, wearing number 79. Again, tune in for pregame coverage at 6:30 and puck drop at 7 for the Henderson Silver Knights and the San Diego Gulls. Thank you to you, the listener, for joining us on HSK Today all season long. Hope you had some fun with us. We'll see you next season for another campaign of HSK Today.